Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our service of worship here today, whether you're here in the church or are there any folks out in the car park. You're all very welcome, and I trust and pray that as we get time together or spend time together now worshiping God, that you'll be blessed and that he will be glorified. And I'm delighted to see Peter home with us here for a few days, and any other visitors with us today, you're extremely welcome. I'd like to bring a couple of items to your attention with regards to announcements. First, the first one, which I omitted to put on the announcement sheet, is that the SASRA prayer letter, that is the Soldiers and Airmen Scripture Readers Association, the prayer letter for their work for April is available in the church vestibule. And then with regards to what's actually on the sheet itself, the little lambs, mums and tots, toddlers will be held this Wednesday, again, God willing, at 9:30 to 11:30 in the Bailey Hall. So all babies, preschoolers, and their carers are welcome. Please note that the Bible study, or the midweek Bible study, will not be meeting for a few weeks until again Wednesday, the 27th of April. But you'll see below that the midweek Bible study booklets for the next session, once Ezekiel ends, are now available. So if you want one, rather than signing sheets in the vestibule, because everybody is quite easy to forget that. I always announce things in the announcements, and then we walk out and forget about these things. So email me, and at the bottom of the sheet, at the bottom end of the sheet, there's my email address. So email me or call me if you're not too au fait with the emailing, and let me know if you want one of those booklets for Hebrews. And as I say, couples, please indicate whether or not you want one or two booklets. The Claughorn Glen Hoy PW outing for 2022, you see the details for that on there. Can I please ask you, if you're interested in going out, to put your name on the sheet that's in the vestibule and pay Gillian by Sunday the 24th if you planned to attend. And below that, again, the details of the PW rally on Sunday the 24th in Irvinestown are on there. And again, there's a sheet out in the vestibule. Can I please ask you to put your name down there if you want to attend with regards to that. As we flick over the sheet, you'll see our Easter service schedule. We have our Good Friday service, a joint service in Clogher this coming Friday, God willing, at 8 p.m., and we will also include communion as part of that service. So can I encourage you to please come along to that if you are able to. Also, as I mentioned last week, we've got the dawn service on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. Somebody asked me, was there access for limited mobility on Sunday? When I said last week, it'd be nice to see everybody there. I can get your cars as close to the top of the hill as possible, and I would like to see you there. But if you are willing and brave enough, it'd be great to see you on that Sunday morning, followed by our normal Sunday morning service next Sunday morning. And then finally, with regards to the COVID-19 guidelines, things have changed dramatically, as you can see from the way our church is seated. It's just that the back three pews at the rear of the church are seated alternatively for those who do not, or those who feel more comfortable maintaining social distancing. Masks are no longer a requirement whilst entering, leaving, moving around in, or indeed singing, but you are free to wear your mask at any time should you wish to do so. And whilst social distancing is no longer a requirement, you are free to maintain that should you wish to do so. As is always the case, please let me know if you test positive between now and next Sunday so I can phone those who are sat in close proximity to you. As always, have a good gander now behind you and in front of you, and take note of those folks if we have to have that conversation. Those are all the announcements. I'm going to read from God's word now just to help us refocus our minds. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 51. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like, or look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have taken my instruction to heart. Do not fear the reproach of mere mortals, or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, the worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever. my salvation through all generations. With those words still fresh in our minds, let's stand to sing our opening praise, Meekness and Majesty. Let us come before God in prayer now. Let us all pray. Gracious God, loving and eternal Heavenly Father, as we unite our hearts in prayer now, we give you thanks for this another day and for this opportunity that we have to rest from our labors so we can focus upon you. We give you thanks for being able to speak with you as we do, in the sure and certain knowledge that when we approach you by faith in the name of your Son, you will never turn us away. We give you thanks that you always have time for us, that you always listen to us and answer us in accordance with your divine will and purpose. We give you thanks that you want us to come before you in this way, so that we may be blessed from doing so. Blessed by refocusing our lives on one who is above and beyond our circumstances, and therefore is not constrained as we are. blessed by remembering your limitless power, your unchanging nature and abilities, and your unwavering faithfulness. Blessed by remembering that your love for us is unconditional and unquenchable, and that your grace is inexhaustible. Blessed by remembering that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, no more in condemnation, that our sins are gone and we have been set free. Blessed by remembering that in Christ our sins are erased from our history, and that we are given a brand new future, that our sin-stained rags are taken from us and we are clothed in our Saviour's righteousness. Blessed by remembering that whilst you forget our sins, you will never forget us. Blessed by remembering that with you as our great shepherd, we shall never be in want. For you make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside quiet waters and you restore our souls. You guide us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil. For you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil and our cups overflow. With you as our great shepherd, we can be assured that goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives. And when life in this realm is over, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, help us now to embrace this great and this immense privilege. Holy Spirit, inspire our hearts. May we no longer conform to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. And now we turn to God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, can I encourage you to open them at Mark chapter 11. We will begin reading at verse 1. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And if you're using one of the Pew Bibles, that can be found on page 1016. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will bring it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And we end our reading there at verse 11. And thank God for this reading from his truth. Now I want to speak to the young people for a few moments. I've got some pictures, boys and girls, that I want to show you. I wonder if you would be able to tell me what they are. Bring up, what's that? Alexis, that's a mouse. Some women have their feet up already. Okay, what's that? Do you reckon it? What's it? That's a mouse as well. That's also known as a mouse. Okay. What about the next picture? What are these? Tablets, that's white. Okay. And what about this? What do we call this? Well, it's an iPad, but it's also known, well done, it's also known as a tablet. Okay. Try getting, I know you think I've got a big mouth, but I still can't fit this one in, I assure you. Okay. What about this? Ooh, close, but no prize. What do you reckon? A bat. It's a bat. That's right. It's a cricket bat. Okay. What about the next picture? A bat. We have them in the attic of the manse. Okay. So we have tenants. Okay. Keys. Well done. What about the next picture? Now, the next one. Keys on a piano and keys on a computer. Can you play the piano? Yes. And you as well, can you? So, you can move over. Never volunteer for anything in life. What about the next picture? It's a button. Well done. What about the next picture? There's a button on the next one. Those are all buttons, on off buttons, on remote controls. Okay? When you're fighting the telly, trying to get the turn it on and turn it off. Now, all of these things, just bring up the blank one. All of these things are different. They were different, but they all have something in common. And the thing they have in common is that they use one word to describe different things. For example, okay. Bring up that picture. Okay. Well, that's a mouse. Okay. But that's also a mouse. Okay. I made a picture of the tablets. Okay. But that's also a tablet. Okay. They're different, but they're known as the same thing. And this means that if you don't know the difference, you could be very confused. For instance, your mom and dad says, go and take a tablet. And you bring that. Okay, or somebody, imagine if you're not familiar with computers, some people might wonder what you're talking about if you told them you had to use a mouse to access the internet, or to use a tablet to access the internet, okay, or that how on earth you would be able to take one of these for a cold, okay. So we have words the same mean different things, and that can lead people to be confused if you ask them for one thing, but they went and got you another. Because I can guarantee you, if your mum asked you to bring you this, and you caught one of them furry boys, okay, and brought her one of them, well, I might hear the screams over in the manse, okay? Now, can anybody tell me what is special about today? Palm Sunday. And what happened on Palm Sunday, Alexis? Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. That is right. And what did people do? Why is it known as Palm Sunday? That's right. They got palm branches. Some people got palm branches and they waved them and they led them on the road as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem that day, all those years ago on the donkey. Now, the Bible tells us that on that day, lots and lots of excited people lined the road to see Jesus. And as he rode along, they repeatedly shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Now, those words might seem a bit strange to us, but what those people were doing were welcoming Jesus as though he were a victorious king. Some of them had heard stories about all of the miracles that he had performed. They had heard about how he had been He'd been able to make blind people see and make lame people walk. Even raise dead people back to life again. And because of this, there was a rumor going around that he was the Messiah. He was the one spoken about by lots and lots of prophets years and years ago. And it was said that this Messiah would conquer their enemies and set them free. So lots of these people on that day thought that Jesus was going to raise a massive army up and beat the Romans who ruled over them. That is therefore why they welcomed Jesus as a victorious king. But they were mistaken that day, because whilst Jesus was a victorious king, he hadn't come to fight and defeat the Romans. He'd come to defeat sin and death and so free people from having to face God's judgment because of their sin. But he didn't raise an army to do this. He fought that battle himself a few days later when he was crucified and he rose victorious from the grave. So you see, Jesus is a king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who defeated sin and death so that you and I can have all our sins forgiven. And for that to happen, all we need to do is welcome Jesus into our hearts as our Savior and Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he is he has been victorious, that he was able to defeat sin and death. And we thank you, Lord, that just as people welcomed him that day, we can welcome him today, even today, into our hearts as our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, boys and girls, normally you would go out during the next hymn, but the boys and girls, as we change, we're going to stay in and sing your hymn, and then we're going to head out. You can head out to Children's Church after that. So we're going to stand to sing our next hymn, My God Is So Big. And if you know the actions, please do them. Let us come before God in prayer. Once again, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we unite our hearts in prayer once again, we do so remembering the situation in Ukraine. Lord, the pictures coming out of that country magnify the brokenness of humanity as once again we see the evidence of the state of truth that man's inhumanity to man knows no bounds. Heavenly Father, an unspeakable evil has befallen that country, and whilst the Ukrainian people rightly seek justice for the crimes committed against them. We pray they will not succumb to bitterness, rage, and hatred towards the Russian people, and so seek revenge. We pray that the perpetrators of these heinous crimes will be caught, brought to justice, and sentenced accordingly in a recognized court of law. We pray for the military situation and ask, O Lord, that the Ukrainian forces would be able to gain the upper hand against the invader, that they would be able to stop their advance and force them into a wholesale retreat. We pray that they would be able to break the siege around Mariupol and relieve the beleaguered defenders and bring aid to the starving civilian population. We pray that despite the state suppression of the facts about this war, the Russian people will come to learn the truth from other sources, and that they will be able to raise effective opposition to it and so cause the government to completely withdraw from Ukraine. We continue to pray, Lord, for all those who have lost their loved ones in this war, both Russian and Ukrainian alike, and ask, O Lord, that they would know your comfort and grace as they grieve. We continue to pray, Lord, for the refugee status, how their situation, Heavenly Father, those, O Lord, who have had to flee their homes, leave behind everything, would receive the support they need for as long as they need it. Heavenly Father, here at home, we continue to remember our farmers as they are faced with mounting input costs of energy, feed, fuel, and fertilizer, whilst at the same time not receiving a sufficient return on their produce to cover these costs and so provide for their own families. We pray, O Lord, that the cause of these constantly rising costs of oil and gas will be dealt with successfully on an international level, and so enable them to return to an affordable level. We pray, Lord, for our government trying to tackle this problem at national level, and we ask, Lord, that you grant them the wisdom to do so effectively. Finally, Lord, we pray for this, your church here in Glenhoy. Heavenly Father, we live in a culture which is rapidly sinking into a moral abyss, where your truth is suppressed and discarded, while sinfulness is championed and celebrated. In parts of our nation, it is now illegal to smack a child, but they can legally be murdered in the womb in the name of choice. The sanctity of marriage has now been so undermined that even people of the same sex can marry. And in England, people can now legally divorce their spouse without having to provide a justifiable reason for doing so, regardless of the damage that it will do to any children they may have. And in the midst of such a moral abyss, we as your church seek to maintain and proclaim your truth. Therefore, we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to remain faithful to you and to hold aloft your great name. Help us, O Heavenly Father, to hold aloft your truth and to proclaim it to our neighbours, to our work colleagues, to those that you have placed us amongst. Heavenly Father, as a congregation, we lift before you Alan and Laura Patterson this day, Lord, as they continue to mourn the loss of Laura's mum. We lift before you the wider family circle and pray, Lord, that they would know your grace, your comfort, and your safekeeping at this time. We also remember, Lord, those known to us in this congregation and in the wider community who are sick at present. We humbly beseech thee, Heavenly Father, to lay your healing hand upon them and provide the comfort and reassurance to their anxious loved ones at this time. These things, Lord, we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. Living in the era of modern media that we do, We are well used to seeing pomp and ceremony that accompanies a state visit by a world leader to the United Kingdom. And in particular, when they get to have a formal reception by the Queen at Buckingham Palace, all the pomp and ceremony surrounding that. The symbolism of all that happens during such occasions is largely lost on us now, given that it harks back to the era when Britain had an empire and quite literally ruled the waves. Back in that era, when foreign leaders paid Britain a visit, every effort was made to impress upon them the wealth and power of the nation. This was, of course, not done without reason. It was actually a subtle form of intimidation designed to convince other world leaders of Britain's supremacy. Britain did not, however, invent this practice. It was something that had been adopted centuries earlier by leaders of empires who wanted to ensure that when other leaders visited them at their royal residences, they would be left in no doubt as to who was more powerful. Symbolism, by its very nature, means there is more to something than simply meets the eye. So if it is not picked up on, then the true meaning of it can be missed. For example, a national leader paying a visit to one of the ancient Assyrian kings would not have mistaken the battle scenes depicted on the walls of the palace as a bit of high-end, over-the-top interior decorating. He would have taken away the message that these people could crush all resistance to their rule. Symbolism is something that we also need to keep in mind when we read through Scripture, because although it is not always present, it sometimes is. And if we do not pick up on it, we can lose the correct meaning of the message being conveyed. And as we turn to Mark's account of Christ's entry into Jerusalem, we find that some of the things that Jesus did that day had a hugely symbolic reason, a symbolic meaning for those who witnessed this event firsthand, which explains why Christ received such an enthusiastic welcome that day. That symbolism does, of course, convey an important message about Christ. However, it can also easily distract us so we don't pick up on other things contained in the narrative that Mark tells us. So as we consider Mark's account of this event, whilst not entirely forgetting about the symbolism, I want us to think about two types of people that we encounter, with one being a lot more obvious than the other. And they are, firstly, those who served Christ, and secondly, those who saluted Christ. Firstly, then, those who served Christ. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem that day was the last leg, so to speak, of a journey he had begun some 9 months earlier, as he purposely made his way through Galilee, Samaria, Perea, and finally Judea, in order to end up in Jerusalem for the Passover, which was the most important feast in the Jewish religious calendar. When the Jews remembered how God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt. On that day, when Jesus reached the village of Bethany, which was about 2 miles from Jerusalem, he instructed two of his disciples to go ahead to the smaller village of Bethpage and retrieve a colt, the foal of a donkey, which they would find in the street tethered by a doorway. He also told them that if anyone challenged them, as they did so, then they were to tell them, "The Lord needs it, and we'll bring it back here shortly." So off these two men went, and everything happened exactly as Jesus said it would. They found the colt standing in the street, tied by a doorway. And as they untied it, they were asked by some people standing nearby what they were doing. Now, whilst Mark does not specify who they were, Luke tells us they were the colt's owners. And that when the disciples gave them the answer Jesus had instructed them to give, they let the disciples take the colt. We don't know who these men were or how many of them there were, but that's not important. What is, however, is the fact that they let Jesus use their colt to ride into Jerusalem that day. So in a very simple way, they served Christ without any fuss or fanfare. Christ wanted to use their colt, and they let him have it simply because of who he was. They didn't ask Jesus what he wanted to use the colt for. And if they suspected that he wanted it to ride. They didn't say that it was unsuitable, given that it had never been ridden before and would therefore naturally throw anyone who sat on it. The knowledge that Christ wanted it was enough for them, so they gave him the colt. They let him use what they had. You know, when we talk about serving Christ, we often associate such service with high-profile roles within his church, such as public ministry. But that is not the case. When we come to faith in Christ, he wants us to let him use what we have in the place where he has put us, in the service of his kingdom. Depending on our circumstances, he wants us to place at his disposal things such as our time, our resources, and our abilities to serve him. We may, of course, think that such things are even ourselves are inadequate or unsuitable. But thinking like that is to forget who has asked us. This colt was, as we know, unbroken. It had never been ridden before. So to all intents and purposes, it was completely unsuitable. If any normal person had thrown their leg over it, in all likelihood, it would have been transformed from a placid animal into a jumping, kicking, bucking one, and they would have ended up lying on their back or on their side on the ground. But no such thing happened when Jesus sat upon this unbroken colt. It yielded to the one who had created it and became the mount for the King of Kings that day. Christ can take the reins of the most unruly of sinners, those thought to be unusable, and transform them for works of service in his kingdom. When we give Christ the reins of our lives, when we put him in the saddle, so to speak, he can use us and use whatever we give him, no matter how inadequate or unsuitable we may think it or we are. He is, after all, the one who stretched out the heavens like a canopy, who set each star in place and called each one by name. He is the one who created substance from nothing, who brought forth light into light in darkness, and who breathed life into a hitherto lifeless sphere that we know as earth. Our ability to serve Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, does not depend upon what we can give Christ, but rather on our willingness to give him what he asks for, simply because he has asked. So when we look close enough at this event, we can see there were people who served Christ that day, but then there were also those who saluted Christ, and they are the more prominent ones. As Jesus made his way towards Jerusalem, he had a crowd of people following him, and others who arrived in the city for the Passover festival, who upon hearing that he was coming, left the city and lined the roads to see him. Passover was always a time of heightened tension in Jerusalem during that era, given what it represented. It was, after all, when they celebrated God's deliverance from slavery and foreign domination. So when news that Jesus was on his way, given the rumors of the many miracles he had performed, and that he was possibly the long-awaited Messiah, it's easy to see why so many flocked to see him. Now, to us, the sight of a man riding on a young donkey would be a major letdown. But the symbolism of it wasn't lost on those people. Firstly, there was the fact that this colt had not been ridden before. The significance of this lies in the fact that in Hebrew and in ancient cultures in general, an animal that was devoted to sacred use had to be one that had not been put to ordinary use beforehand. Then secondly, there was the fact that it was a donkey, not a horse. The donkey had been the royal mount of choice for King David, the most revered king in ancient Israel's history, and the one whom the prophets had said the Messiah would be a descendant of. And then thirdly, there's the fact that the prophet Zechariah had prophesied that when he came, the Messiah would do so, riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Recorded for us in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, and something which Matthew makes reference to in his account of this day. So when the people joined all the dots, so to speak, it's easy to see why Jesus received the rapturous reception that he did. With those behind him and those in front of him repeatedly shouting the words recorded for us in verses 9 and 10, they raised a chorus of praise that day, much like we hear in football stadiums today, as devoted fans hail our heroes on the pitch. So in effect, filled with anticipation about how he would deliver them from foreign domination, they hailed him as their conquering king. But sadly, most of those people only saluted Christ as they did because of who they wanted him to be, or who they expected him to be, not because of who he really was. And as we know, when they learned that Jesus was not the political and military Messiah that they wanted, many of those same voices were raised in a chorus of denunciation of Christ before the week was out. In short, they wanted a Messiah on their own terms. Those people are tragically not alone in making the mistake of wanting a Messiah on their own terms. Many still do so today. Many people find the idea of Christ as their Savior agreeable, but they will balk at the idea of having him as Lord of their lives. They want him to save them from their sins, but nothing else. And they definitely don't want to submit to his authority and serve him. They want to get a free pass, as it were, to get to heaven, to be given the privileges of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But they don't want to accept the responsibilities of such citizenship. That's why we see people openly professing to be Christians, but continuing to live a sinful lifestyle. People who profess to love Christ, yet will drop him like a hot coal if they think they will lose their popularity and standing amongst their peers. People who believe that they can pick and choose which bits of God's word to accept and which bits they can ignore. For example, people who profess Christ but willfully get themselves drunk and become involved in relationships that are contrary to what God has ordained. People who expect God to be gracious towards them, but they never exhibit grace towards others. People who expect God to love them unconditionally, but they remain intolerant towards those they deem unworthy. People who expect to receive God's forgiveness, but remain spiteful and unforgiving towards those who have hurt them, even after they've been offered a sincere apology by those people. In other words, whilst they profess faith in Christ, they live by the standards of this world and not by the standards of God's word. Unfortunately, such people fool no one but themselves. There's no such thing as following Christ on our terms. We're either following him or we're not. He is either our Lord or he isn't. We either submit our lives to him or to one or a number of the numerous false gods in this world. Of course, many people will scoff at the idea of worshipping anything. But as we were designed by God to worship him, if we don't, we will fill that void with something else. Everyone, regardless of what they think or state, worships something. So when Christ rode into Jerusalem that day, some people willingly served him. They gave him what they had to use as he wanted simply because of who he was. Others, though, raucously saluted him, but they only wanted him as their Messiah on their terms. So I wonder, as God looks upon you now, which of these two categories describes you? Are you living for Christ or yourself? Have you welcomed Christ as he really is, because of who he really is, or because of who you want him to be? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word describes two categories of people here for us this morning. And if we are honest, Heavenly Father, so often we find ourselves in the second category where we worship you because of who we want you to be, who we expect you to be, not because of who you really are. Heavenly Father, help us to be those people who accept you and accept Christ simply because of who he is. Help us, Lord, not to seek to impose our own terms and conditions, but to willingly, wholeheartedly, and unreservedly serve you, follow you, that we, O Lord, may honor your great name. Amen. Let us stand to sing our closing praise, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you forever. Amen.